Veterans Radio is dedicated to all the men and women who have served or are currently serving in the Armed Forces of the United States of America. Today's Veterans Radio program is brought to you by the Marine Scholars Program at Ave Maria University. Go to avemaria.edu for more information about this great scholarship program. And also through the generous contributions from the Village Kitchen Restaurant located on in the Maple Village Shopping Center right here in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Froneberry.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Here we are in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we want to make sure that everybody is out thinking about Memorial Day in its proper sense. It's not just meant for barbecues, but also mainly we want to make sure that we remember all of our men and women who have served or are currently serving in the Armed Forces of the United States. And it's very important that we remember on this Memorial Day. I was having a really difficult time this morning, I found. Joining me in the studio also is my partner, Bob Gould.
Oh,
Bob,
yeah.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
One of my favorite holidays is, besides Thanksgiving, is Memorial Day. And I remember it fondly. As a Boy Scout, we sold flags.
Did you?
And we sold a lot of them. Of course, we went to a church. And you're in your uniform, would you like to buy a flag, mister? And the wife is grabbing the guy by the arm, and, you know, that's the way. That's it. That was when marketing began.
I think so. One of the reasons I was telling the audience that I was having a little problem with Memorial Day is that this is the first Memorial Day that we're going to celebrate without Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was really difficult this morning when I got up thinking about that, because Memorial Day to Gary Lilly was one of the most important celebrations of military service that I think he would ever think about. He always talked about Memorial Day and how important it was to him. And what we're going to be doing today and a little bit later on is we're going to be playing an encore program done by Gary Lilly about Arlington Cemetery. And
this is one of my favorites.
It's one of all of our favorite programs, and it was we did this one on Memorial Day in 2008, and we're going to be talking with the curator of the Arlington Cemetery website. It's a non-governmental website. This guy Michael Patterson has just done an amazing job of putting together so much information, but I won't take all the information away from the interview itself. But I think that you'll stay tuned for that one, because it's a really powerful interview, and you're going to learn a lot of information about Memorial Day and Arlington especially. And I thought what was really interesting was about Memorial Day per se is, you know, where did it come from? Most of us think that it came as a result of the Civil War, which it did. And there's a lot of different communities in the country that claim ownership of Memorial Day. And they were down in the South, also in the North, and the government, in their infinite wisdom for whatever, gave Waterloo, New York, the honor of being the home of Memorial Day. And this was...
Well, what do they do today?
I'm not sure what they do for it, but I was reading this information on Memorial Day history, and it talked about groups in the South, the women before the end of the Civil War, were, setting aside a particular day to honor the deceased veterans. And this was kind of taken over, you know, around the country eventually. It's a lot of different towns planned and there were spontaneous gatherings of people to honor the war dead. I mean, during the Civil War, and for both of us, obviously none of us were there, but 600,000 people were killed during the Civil War. And, you know, remembering what the population was at the time, that was a huge, huge number. And they were brothers on opposite sides, families were divided, and so on and so forth. And they used this as a way of reconciling the country. And the line here that I liked was, it is what is important is that Memorial Day was established. It's not about division. It's about reconciliation. It's about coming together to honor those who gave their all. And that's what we're going to be doing today, is talking about men and women who gave their all.
All gave some.
Some gave all.
And some gave all.
You know, it's different than Veterans Day. It's different. Memorial Day and Veterans Day are different. Today we are honoring those that did not come back and those that have passed away since their service. So please, if you get an opportunity to go out to a cemetery, and we got it, that's my cue, my lead in here to Bob, but go out to a cemetery and pay respects to those that are out there. You'll be able to identify them. There are a lot of different cemeteries, obviously, around the country. There are going to be a lot of American flags out there today. So, Bob, I'm going to lead you right into your interview.
Thank you very much, Dale. Great Lakes National Cemetery. I have on the line with me, hit that button, there we go, Rick Anderson of the Advisory Council for the Great Lakes National Cemetery. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Rick.
Good morning, Bob. Dale, it's a pleasure for me to be with you both on Veterans Radio to talk about Great Lakes National Cemetery and how we honor our veterans not only on Memorial Day, but all every day.
Well, that, before we get into the details, I want to know how many national cemeteries are there in the country, and are they in foreign countries, national cemeteries?
Our national cemeteries, we've got 131 of them currently throughout the country. About half of them are still active cemeteries, accepting at least the interment or burial of cremated remains. The other half are early Civil War era type cemeteries that were very small, have reached their capacity, and are no longer accepting burials for new burials. They may still have some second interments where we are burying either the surviving spouse of a veteran or the veteran himself or herself when the spouse has already been buried. Our overseas cemeteries are all part of the American Battle Monuments Commission, not the National Cemetery Administration. So, it's a different function, different type of cemetery. Most of our overseas cemeteries, they are not accepting any burials. They were established World War II era to honor those, the final resting place of those men and women that gave all during that period.
What does someone need to be qualified, and how do they find out about becoming interned?
Well, to be buried in a national cemetery, the veteran had to have served on active duty for other than training purposes and been discharged other than dishonorably. That's a blanket statement. There is no requirement for service during a war period or service overseas or anything like that. There is a time of service restriction for those that enlisted after September 1980. They must have served for at least 24 months or been discharged for hardship or medical reasons. For officers, that 24-month time frame begins in September of October of 1981. If the veteran is eligible for burial, the spouse of the veteran is also eligible.
Wow.
The order of death doesn't matter to the National Cemetery Administration. If the spouse predeceases the veteran, we bury the spouse based on the veteran's eligibility. In addition to that, we also arrange for the burial of dependent children. And we define a dependent child as a child under the age of 21. Or 23 if they're in an accredited college program and they pass away having not been in the military in their own right or not been married, then they qualify under their parent veteran's eligibility.
Wow. That's interesting. That's great information on that. And you folks, I hope you're taking some notes on that and to let your relatives know. Is there any cost for this?
No, there's absolutely no cost. Everything that that takes place inside the front gate of a national cemetery is free to the veteran, the spouse, and the dependent children. We provide the grave, the opening and closing of the grave, the concrete grave liner, so that the family doesn't have to go out and spend a lot of money for a burial vault,
mm-hmm,
box, the perpetual care, the headstone, Everything inside that gate is absolutely free. The family has to pay for what they do at the funeral home, the body preparation, the cremation, et cetera.
And Dale, what do you think of this?
I was just sitting there going, we just went through a familial funeral.
We should get MapQuest here.
Not the MapQuest. But, Rick, I wanted to ask you, what is going to be going on at the cemetery there in Holly over this Memorial Day weekend?
Well, last night we placed about 11,000 flags, individual grave decorating flags. We had about 350 volunteers, four different young Marine detachments from around the area, a lot of Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and just general volunteers here to place the flags. All of our graves and our calm area walls are decorated. The program itself will be on Sunday. That's tomorrow beginning at 1 o'clock. For that program, we'll have a very interesting keynote speaker, Mr. Bill Harris, television anchor and special projects manager for TV 25. He's been in the anchor business for about 30, 35 years. He's a veteran in his own right and a very interesting individual to listen to. His comments should be about 5 minutes long. And then we're going to have a wreath presentation by our veteran service organizations, honoring those men and women that served in the military and were members of their organization. We'll have some special music presentations. The program should last about an hour. It'll be closed with a rifle salute and the playing of taps.
Now you have then a program on Monday. I'm looking here and I'm seeing at 11 o'clock that there will be the 82nd World War II Polar Bears. And I got a little... Well, folks, if you want to know what this is all about, if you want to, we're not going to give it all to you now. No. You can't write that fast. But you can go to, I'm looking here for your website. What's your website, Rick?
Well, the polar bears aren't going to be out here at the cemetery. I tell you that because we haven't got any lakes that they can go in.
Oh, okay. I know. But what's your website so folks can?
Our website, www.cem.va.gov.
Okay, why don't you give us that again?
www.cem, short for cemetery, .va, for Veterans Affairs, .gov, G-O-V, for a government website.
Okay, and then they can just follow the...
Find any information about any national cemetery at that site. Just click the state that you want to, or a cemetery in the state, special veterans there, or Memorial Day program. Information is out there. Primarily, it just gives the date and the time. Our program is sponsored by the Great Lakes National Cemetery Advisory Council. Monday, there are no special programs here at the cemetery on Monday because we save that day for the family to come out and visit their graves, the graves of their loved ones.
It ought to be really something to see 11,000 flags and the white headstone. So, folks, if you've got something that you'd like to plan for Sunday, go on out to the Holly, Michigan, which is north of Dale?
Well, we're right between Holly and Grand Blanc.
Okay, that's right near Flint. Rick Anderson,
Flint.
Thank you very much for all the work that you do with the cemetery, all the work that you do with the veterans. And on behalf of Dale, myself, and Nina, we want to give you a Veterans Radio salute.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you.
Thank you very much, Rick.
God bless.
Thank you. We're going to get into our program pretty quickly.
Do you want to talk about Arlington real quick?
Well, real quickly we can talk about it. You know, we mentioned...
I was there.
We're going to be talking about Arlington Cemetery today with Gary Lilly's interview with Michael Patterson. That was done Memorial Weekend of 2008.
4 years.
Seems like a long time ago. But, we were talking about our memories of Arlington and how spectacular I was. I had the opportunity of going there when I was 10 years old and how amazed I was and how respectful I suddenly became of the whole idea of the military at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier when I watched that the changing of the guard. And I can remember just being mesmerized by that whole thing. And it's going, it finally started to sink in that these people that are, you know, with the thousands and thousands of headstones, rows upon rows of them, it's, you know, how important that there's the service really is.
And I think that the song that we're going to use for Bumps, Trace Atkins, Arlington, says it all. It really does. Listen to the words carefully on that one, folks.
I just think that I hope that you will all enjoy this program.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hard time listening to it again, and I think that some of you will also. We're going to start it off by listening to Bob's welcome home that he gave on that date in 2008. So, Nina, if we're ready to go, we're going to go right to Bob Gould in 2008.
Welcome home, we here at Veterans Radio. Welcome home, troops that have returned from service around the world and have returned to our country. But we're going to step aside a little bit from the usual and just take a moment or two on this special day that we here at Veterans Radio want to welcome home those that welcome home. That includes service organizations such as the Vietnam Veterans of America, the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, etc. And also, for some of the groups, some of the civilian groups, the Patriot Riders, the various high school bands, the Bangor Main Greeters, Donut Dollies, the Donut Girls, they've all provided a welcome home to those who have given us so much. So here at Veterans Radio, we want to say to the moms and dads, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, friends and neighbors, and from all Americans around the world, welcome home.
Trace Adkins' song Arlington from his Greatest Hits CD, Greatest Hits 2. We'll play a little bit more of it. To me, it's a very moving song and a very meaningful song. And another person that it's meaningful to is Michael Patterson. Michael, welcome to Veterans Radio. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me on this morning, and we hope that you guys are enjoying the Memorial Day weekend and hopefully that all of your listeners are celebrating Memorial Day as it should be, remembering those who've come before us and who've served. But again, as you mentioned, my name is Michael Patterson. I'm the web's master and originator of the Arlington National Cemetery website, which is my own personal website. It doesn't belong to the government or to the Army. I do it as a gift to America, if you will.
They have their own website, which is very, is it the identical name, only .org? Or
yeah, yes, it is,
tell us,
Gary,
what your website is before we get
ours is www.arlingtoncemetery.net and also arlingtoncemetery.com.
Michael, You started off with a very small website, correct?
Well, I did, Gary. Back in 1996, we started off with a very humble, very small 10-page website.
And how large is it now?
It's now running about 35,000 pages.
I don't think I could go through it in my lifetime. I don't know how you found time to do it, but tell us, you got interested in it because your dad was in the military. You're now retired, so he was in World War II, Korea, and the start of Vietnam. Is that correct?
Yes, he was, and he retired in 1965. He was, a lifetime military officer. And through that, I gained a lot of interest in military history and American history for sure. And, because of his affiliation with the military, we had been down in the D.C. area a number of times. And, of course, when you visit Washington, D.C., the metro area, Arlington National Cemetery is certainly a place that one needs to visit.
That's such a solemn spot. And every time I walk through there, it just hits me. I look at these tombstones and I think, the stories here, the stories that have never been told. It's sacred to me. How large is Arlington?
Arlington Cemetery right now is 660 acres. The good news is that there's been some additional property ceded to Arlington from adjoining military organizations. So we'll be adding about 80 acres to the cemetery, which will keep it alive certainly beyond 2060. Is an active cemetery.
And how many are buried there?
Well, right now there's pushing around 300,000.
How much more room will they have? How many more can it take?
Well, again, at the present burial rate, which is around between 27 and 30 a day, they'll be able to continue right up until 2060. It's estimated at this point.
Okay, so leave it up to the people to do the math. Now, who qualifies to be buried there?
Well, it's the criteria there has become very restricted following President Kennedy being buried there. Arlington became a very popular burial site, as you can imagine. So Congress passed some very severe restrictions following that time. Right now, anyone who dies on active duty, of course, is eligible. Retired military who are receiving retirement pay from the military are eligible, and certain other persons who receive certain military honors. Of course, Medal of Honor recipients, Silver Star recipients, and, of course, Purple Heart recipients are immediately eligible.
So
but there are all sorts of other criteria. We do have that on the website. It goes on and on for several pages because there are some exceptions, of course.
So if somebody wants to know whether or not they or a loved one qualifies, they can go to your website.
Absolutely, they can.
Okay, terrific. What a service. How did Arlington get started and when?
Well, it was a very interesting story. It actually, Arlington, as you probably know, was in the family of Robert E. Lee, who became the Confederate general. But in 1862, after the Civil War had started, the United States Congress passed a tax act against the states that were in rebellion, the southern states. And if those taxes weren't paid, certain properties were seized, and one of those was the Arlington estate. And they filed suit against the Arlington estate in the amount of $92.07 in taxes plus penalties. And, of course, General Lee could not pass over the line to pay the taxes, so the United States government seized the property in 1862 for what they categorized as war, military, charitable, and educational purposes. And it didn't become a cemetery until 1864, when Brigadier General Montgomery Meigs, who was the Quartermaster General of the Union Army at that time, and who was a person who harbored a strong jealousy for Robert E. Lee for turning against the Union and joining the Confederacy, recommended to President Lincoln that they establish a cemetery on the grounds, principally to provide additional burial space, but secondarily to prevent General Lee or his family from ever living in the estate again. And actually, before the cemetery was actually established in June 1864, on May 13, 1864, the first burial took place, who was a Private William Crispin for from a Pennsylvania infantry regiment who had died in a Washington hospital.
That's amazing to me that you would know, or that history would know, the very first person to be buried at Arlington. I'd have never guessed we would know that. And were the Union soldiers buried close to the mansion, did I understand?
Yes, they were. They were buried in what was Mrs. Lee's Rose Garden, right near the mansion. And Meigs, General Meigs, who we mentioned before, actually personally supervised it because he wanted them buried so close to the mansion that it would never become a private home again.
True. Tell us the connection or the history of Mrs. Lee.
Well, Mrs. Lee actually owned the property. It wasn't actually General Lee's property. Her father, George Washington Park Custis, was the adopted son of George Washington, which many people don't know. When he died, the property went to Mrs. Lee, and she and raised her family there for many, many years while her husband was in the United States Army serving out west. He came back to the property at some point in time after George Washington Park Custis died, and he's actually buried with his wife on the property. So they were actually the first burials, although they were civilians. They were buried on the estate well before it was a cemetery. And
the mansion is still there.
Yes, it is. It's called Arlington House, or sometimes called the Cussley Mansion.
And what do you see when you're standing there, and what is the house used for now?
It's used now as it's now called the Robert E. Lee National Memorial, and it's been restored to the way it looked in the 1860s. It has much of the original furniture in it, and it's a very beautiful home.
And when you stand on the porch, you look out over.
Well, immediately if you look out, you can look down, and right down the hill from that is the John F. Kennedy burial site. The Robert F. Kennedy burial site, and right in the front yard is where General Phil Sheridan from the Civil War is buried.
And then you look out and you see the graves, and then in the distance you see the Potomac. And
you see the Potomac, and you can see Washington, D.C. off in the distance.
And off to the right would be the Pentagon.
Yes, absolutely, and you can see the U.S. Capitol, you can see the Washington Monument. It's just an absolutely beautiful sight.
It's stunning. I've been there, and I've wandered around. When you wander around, you see a lot of monuments. You see a lot of plaques of dedication. Can you tell us about that, and tell us who qualifies to be able to put a plaque there?
Well, many, many very groups, military groups principally, obviously, of course, have applied to Arlington and over the years to have plaques placed in memory of their groups. There were very groups such as the Navy Seabees, of course, have a monument right outside the gates of Arlington on Memorial Drive.
One that I'm near and dear to my heart.
I knew it would be. Large. That's why I wanted to mention that, Gary, because I know that that's very close to you. But again, there are literally hundreds, if I wouldn't say thousands, but there are many hundred memorials that have been placed by various military and veterans throughout the cemetery. And they're anything from trees with plaques below them to very large memorials. There's going back into the late 1890s, early 1900s, there's the Spanish-American War Memorial. There's the Rough Riders Memorial. And then, of course, the largest one in the cemetery is the USS Maine Memorial, which was established, you know, from the USS Maine being sunk in Havana Harbor, which started the Spanish-American War. And in the early 1900s, the mast of the USS Maine was brought to Arlington and placed above the graves of many of the sailors that were lost on the USS Maine.
Do I remember hearing something about the remains of people being in that mast, or is it another monument that I'm thinking of?
No, you're absolutely correct. Over the years, Manuel Cusan, who was the president of the Philippines during World War II, was in exile in Washington and died in Washington. And his body was kept in the base of the USS Maine until the war was over, and eventually his body was returned to the Philippines. Another interesting thing is Ignace Jan Paderewski, the president of Poland, at the beginning of World War II, died in the United States in 1941, and he laid in state in the base of the USS Maine until administration of the first President Bush, when his body was finally returned to Poland once Poland was declared free again.
That was something that caught me by surprise, is that there are different people from different nationalities. The person that you mentioned, that is not the same person that there's a statue in Detroit. I think the person in Detroit was a Revolutionary War general. Is that correct?
Yes, but he was not in Arlington.
Okay.
But, you know, once you've mentioned it, there are just numbers of foreign persons who are buried in Arlington. It sometimes surprises a lot of folks. The most recent one, of course, was an Iraqi Air Force captain who was killed on a mission with several American military people. And their remains could not be individually identified because they were killed in a plane crash. And he is buried in Section 60, where most of the casualties from Iraq are buried. And his name is Ali Hassam Abbas Arubai, and he was, again, an Iraqi Air Force captain.
In fact, there's a number of graves, are there not, where there are more than one person because of the way the casualty took place? There was no separating them? Is that
Absolutely. There are a very many group, what they call group burials at Arlington. And again, most of them, or a lot of them, result from World War II. And they're still finding, you know, remains of World War II casualties, mostly from aircraft accidents and shootdowns, a lot of them from New Guinea, you know, as late as just this year, where they're finding aircrew remains, and they're burying them as a group burial in Arlington.
Now, who's getting buried the most right now? Is it veterans or is it active duty?
Well, right now it's veterans for sure, because we're losing so many of our World War II veterans, and they certainly were, as Tom Brokaw wrote in his book, The Greatest Generation, and we're losing them at an alarming rate. That will, I think, continue to be the case because of the way we're losing them, and they're, you know, they're aging out on us, and we're losing so many of them that if you look at the roster of the funerals taking place every day, that's we're losing the veterans.
We're as a matter of fact, it surprises many people to know that per capita, Vietnam vets are dying at just about the double the rate per capita as World War II vets.
Yes, they are, and obviously at a much younger age.
Right. I keep looking at the clock, the calendar every day and checking my time.
Don't do that, Gary. We need you to continue on with this fine program. No,
this
really
program
do.
Keeps me going, believe it or not. Well, at any rate, you get a lot of visitors. How many visitors a year do you get at Arlington?
About 4 million people a year visit through there, and it's one of it's the most visited cemetery in America, probably in the world. And you know, when you've been down there a number of times, right. And I'm there quite frequently, and it varies from school groups to veterans groups to. I was just down there 2 weeks ago, and they had police officers from all over the country that were in for the Police Officers Memorial, which is held in Washington, D.C. annually. And they were just thousands of police officers in the district. And most of those groups came to Arlington, and they were all in their uniforms, and they had all come to the Tomb of the Unknowns to witness the changing of the guard by the 3rd Infantry Division, which is the old guard.
And when we come back, we're going to be in the third segment. We're going to be talking about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And in the next segment, I want you to take us through a funeral and how it takes place there at Arlington Cemetery. We're talking to Michael Patterson on Veterans Radio. Michael Patterson maintains his own private website on Arlington National Cemetery, and it's arlingtoncemetery.net and arlingtoncemetery.com. The time is roaring past. We're going into our first break. We'll be right back on Vets Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Hospital apprentice Fred McGuire, after emptying his rifle, used it as a club. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
what America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
While attached to the USS Pampang, McGuire was one of a shore party moving into Captain Mundang, Philippine Islands, on the morning of 24 September 1911. Ordered to take station within 100 yards of a group of huts close to the trail, McGuire advanced and stood guard as the leader and his scout party first searched the surrounding deep grasses, then moved into the open area before the huts. Instantly, the enemy opened point-blank fire on the exposed men, and approximately 20 enemy charged the small group from inside the huts and from other concealed positions. McGuire, responding to the calls for help, was one of the first on the scene. After emptying his rifle into the attackers, he closed in with his rifle, using it as a club to wage fierce battle until his comrades arrived on the field, when he rallied to the aid of his dying leader and other wounded. Although himself wounded, McGuire ministered tirelessly and efficiently to those who had been struck down, thereby saving the lives of two who otherwise might have succumbed to enemy-inflicted wounds.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Speaking of Veterans Radio...
We're back.
We are back.
We're live.
We are live, and we want to remind you that you're listening to an encore program of our Memorial Day program of 2008 with Gary Lilly and Michael Patterson of the ArlingtonCemetery.net
Boy, you could really
website.
You could really see it when he's on his game 100%.
You really can.
He was hitting home runs. I love the way he brings it, makes it so personal, some of the little comments and the questions that he asks. And that thought he had about watching the clock. Boy.
Unfortunately, he's not able to turn the page again.
Yeah, sir. Yeah.
But we do want to talk to you a little bit about Veterans Radio, and we're watching the clock go by, as he said, and we're trying to back time this program to get it all in correctly, is that we're looking for your help. We mentioned at the beginning of the program that the Marine Scholars and the Village Kitchen Restaurant and some other people have been major contributors to Veterans Radio and have kept us on the air. We have been on the air now going on 9 years. We've worked up 400 to 450 programs.
That's more than two of my marriages.
Combined.
That's right.
But we really do appreciate your support out there, and we would like it if you could help continue to help us out by just sending a contribution. If you like what we're doing,
get the checkbook out.
Get it out. We'll come to your house and get it. Anyway, if you can do that, just send your contribution to Veterans Radio, P.O. Box 3085, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106.
We want to stay on years after years, present a lot of these great programs like we have today, Arlington. And they are available. By the way, folks, if you want to listen to them on your own, you want to go to our website, veteransradio.net. Remember, it's .net. Go on our website, go to the left, click on the... They
where it
still
says,
won't put it on, but that's
click where it says, listen to your archives. We've got
no, you don't have. They have programs. That's it. You just have programs. They have
No. Right on the main page.
Oh, okay.
Listen to your archive programs. You can go back and listen to almost 5 years worth of programs. We're working with the technology to get our older programs off of the wire recording things that we used many years ago to do that. In fact, many of our programs initially were recorded on cassette tapes. So we have to change those over to digital, but they're there for you. And we
keep us on the air, folks. This is your program. That's right. This is not Dale and Bob and Nina. This is your program. We're here to bring it to you, and our expertise is used to bring you those stories. Some of the cool authors that we have. You got something coming up.
That's right.
Can you break the news that you broke to me today?
Which one?
Teaser.
The first thing is that we've got next week, we're going to have the commander of the USS Cole on the program.
Isn't that cool, folks?
And the USS
commander.
Cole, if you will remember, was hit by Al-Qaeda in Yemen, and he's going to be on
the
program.
That was the first time.
And we are working on a secret mission to see if we can get General Colin Powell.
We didn't say it, did we?
We didn't say it.
Now, in order to do that, we got to stay on the air. We pay these production costs ourselves. This is your program. We are the facilitators. That's it. Now, if you want to see people like, and you know what? We won't tell you who our contacts are, but we're getting pretty deep into the Army and the Air Force. Oh, yeah, we're getting deep, very deep. We're deep cover now. we're down there deep. So I'll make this quick. 3058.
3085.
Too many numbers.
Box 3085.
Don't get the other one in your head. 3085 Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106. Keep us on the air.
We're going back to Arlington with Gary Lilly.
I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it costs to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
And that's that beautiful song, Arlington, that can be found on the CD, Trace Adkins' Greatest Hits, number 2. Thank you, Trace Adkins. We're with Michael Patterson, Veterans Radio, coming to you on the Ave Maria Radio Network. The offices here are in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I said that incorrectly. Michael Patterson of Arlington Cemetery .com and .net. You know what? I got a little scattered there because I'm looking at my notes, and I wanted to have you take me through a funeral that takes place, and I'm looking at the names James Linton Heward, someone I knew from Dearborn, Michigan back in the teenage days prior to the service. James Linton Heward was an F-4 pilot who went down on July 12, 1972, up in the north, and then his remains were found and returned, and he was buried in 1997. Very, very emotional day, and I was thinking about that, and I was getting a little bit emotional about it again. Michael Patterson, take us through a cemetery, the burial at one of those at the Arlington Cemetery, and I'm going to let you talk till I get my thoughts together.
That's okay, Gary. I can understand. You know, when you attend a funeral at Arlington Cemetery, it's unlike anything that you'll ever experience. There are two types of funeral services that take place there. The most common one is called Standard Military Honors, and that's available to any enlisted service member or any officer. And that consists of a 6-man body bearer detail, a firing party which fires a 3-rifle volley, and that's sometimes confused with a 21-gun salute, which it's not. There's a bugler to play taps, and then there's, of course, a chaplain from the deceased military service. The body bearers carry the flag draped casket to the grave, hold the flag over the casket while the chaplain says some appropriate words, and then following the committal service, the firing party is called to attention, fires the 3-rifle volley, and then the bugler plays taps, which to my mind is just always just awesome. It just makes the hair stand up on your back of your neck. The body bearers fold the flag, and then that's presented to the next of kin by the officer that's conducting the services. Now, on the other hand, Arlington's the only cemetery in the world that offers on a regular basis a full military honors funeral, available at the family's request to officers and warrant officers. Now, a full honors service consists of a procession to the gravesite with a horse-drawn caisson, a marching band, a marching escort of troops, a four-man color guard. The chaplain joins the procession as well in front of the caisson and behind the escort band and color guard. Once at the gravesite, the service is pretty much identical to the standard services, with the exception that the band plays while the casket is taken to the grave and the flag's being folded. It's just an absolutely breathtaking and emotional and absolutely symbolic farewell to an American fighting man. The interesting thing that happens at Arlington as well, and people of our era may remember this from John F. Kennedy's funeral, is the riderless horse. And that is for officers who are a colonel or above, where the riderless horse follows the caisson. And that's is called the Capron horse. And it's a horse with no rider, of course. And the boots are reversed in the stirrups, you know, which means that the rider will no longer ride his horse. And when you see that happen at Arlington, it absolutely takes your breath away.
That was the funeral type of funeral they had for Jim Heward.
Absolutely.
When I'm the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310 representative at the Vietnam Veterans of America Michigan State Council, where we get the committee reports, one of them always being the POW-MIA report. And it hit me like a bolt of lightning. I was taking the notes when the man was giving his report, and he said the remains of James Linton Heward from Dearborn, Michigan have been returned, and my head snapped back, I know, and my eyes filled with tears, and I continued to take the notes, although I had a hard time seeing the paper, and tears were dropping on the paper. And then the funeral took place at Arlington. A good friend and I drove out there, and there's first the chapel where they have the service, and Jim's sons were there, and one of them was played on the little baby grand piano inside the chapel. And what I remember is he played How Great Thou Art. And it was so stirring, the way he played it. I'd never heard it like that before, and the hair stands up just thinking about it. And when they carried Jim out and put him on the caisson and with the riderless horse and then the band and the color guard, one of them carrying the MIA flag. There were a lot of Vietnam vets from Dearborn, Michigan, went out there, my friend and I amongst them. And as we walked, I don't know if it was a half mile or three quarters of a mile, winding through the cemetery, gradually the Vietnam vets stopped talking. They were in a group, fell into columns of two, fell into step, and then silently marched. And I just looked around and I said to my friend, I am so proud to be a part of this small band of brothers, this small elite group. And as we walked looking at these rows of crosses, it was very emotional. Later on, they had at the cemetery, at the gravesite itself, the Air Force flew the missing man formation. The four planes come flying over and one peels off before it hits the Arlington. And so only the three fly over in the missing man formation. Is the missing man formation something that you see very often there?
Yes, you do, because, you know, most of the Marine aviators, Naval aviators, Air Force aviators, who are combat aviators, their families request that quite frequently. And it is absolutely, Gary, a stirring, stirring thing to see. And it's played out so well, because you can imagine that it has to happen with such technical preciseness the way it happens during the course of the funeral, but it just absolutely takes your breath away.
And for the 4 million visitors that are visiting when that type of a funeral takes place, it's worth the admission. And there's no price of admission. This is a free visit, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this cemetery belongs to the American people, as does my website. I mean, this is an American tradition. This is a national cemetery. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. It belongs to all of those 4 million people who come and visit, and it belongs to the millions of people who come and visit it on the website every year.
I can't recommend your website enough. There is so much in there, historical photographs, everything from the how do I do it, who qualifies, to the stories of the people, and it's just amazing. I spent hours browsing through it, getting ready for the show. And speaking of that, this segment is almost over. You're listening to Michael Patterson, who has the most astounding website on Arlington National Cemetery. We'll give that address again coming out of this next break. In the next break, Michael, we're going to be talking about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Old Guard, and I'd like you to give us some of the history of that wreath laying. I was honored to lay a wreath one Memorial Day, and you're listening to the Veterans Radio Network coming to you from Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back.
Things we've done, and we can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, don't cry for us. We made it to Arlington.
And we're back on Veterans Radio again. That's Trace Adkins' song, Arlington. It can be found on his Greatest Hits Part 2 CD. I love it. We're with Michael Patterson talking about the Arlington National Cemetery. He's got the fabulous website on it. We'll repeat it again later. Right now, I'd like to have you tell us about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Old Guard, the changing of the guard. Give us a bit of a history on that, if you would, please.
I'd be glad to, Gary. Well, you know, the Tomb of the Unknowns is the second most visited place in Arlington National Cemetery. Most of the visitors who come go immediately to John F. Kennedy's gravesite. But the place to me, the center point of the cemetery, is the Tomb of the Unknowns. It was established in 1921 when a unknown from World War One was selected and interred, you know, right behind the Memorial Amphitheater at Arlington. In 1958, he was joined by unknowns from World War II and Korea. And then in 1998, there was a Vietnam unknown chosen. And I mentioned that because I know that that's near and dear to your heart. And eventually, the Vietnam unknown was identified and removed from the tomb, and that was Air Force First Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blassie. And they were able to identify him through mitochondrial DNA. And at his family's request, he was removed, and he was brought home to Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery near his home in Missouri. And he was certainly an American hero as well. But, you know, he was brought back to his home. But the Tomb of the Unknowns has been guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year by the 3rd United States Infantry, who is commonly referred to as the Old Guard. They earned that name in the Mexican War back in the 1800s by the way that they participated in that war. And they are the oldest continuous military organization in the United States Army. And they are the only a military unit that's authorized to have bayonets on their rifles at all times. But these are guys who are specially trained, obviously. They are the honor guard of the United States Army.
How are they selected?
They are selected on military bearing, on intelligence, on dedication to duty. There's height and weight restrictions. They have to have 28-inch waist, for instance, which I haven't seen since I think I was 10 years old. But these guys are out there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, in rain, in snow, in horrible weather, in heat.
I understand that during a storm a few years ago, the blizzard that was so bad, they were authorized to not do their guarding and turned it down, and they stayed out there anyway?
Yes, they do. There. If you've been there, Gary, and I know you have.
I have.
There's a little booth off to the side.
Right.
And when the snow piles up, they will retreat to that booth and stay at attention while the area that they march on is cleaned, and then they resume their march. They are the most dedicated, wonderful young men and women. There have been three tomb guards who are females that you'll ever know. And as far as the tomb itself, it's having some issues right now because of some cracks that have formed. And there are discussions underway whether the tomb should be replaced, at least the cap, the top of it that we're all familiar with,
right,
or whether it should be repaired. And there have been issues over the years where it has been attempted to repair it.
I'm glad they're not just jumping into it and doing something that there's...
I'm glad they're not either. Congress has stuck their hand into it and said, listen, let's sit back and let's research this a little bit.
Well,
but I think there's a couple of very poignant things about the tomb, and one is the inscription which sits on the front of it, which I think is pretty familiar to all of our veterans friends out there, and it says merely, here rests an honored, glory, an American soldier known but to God, and that is the truth. I mean, this is simply an American soldier, and, you know, whether, like yourself, if you're a CB or you're a sailor or a Marine, or a Coast Guardsman, or an airman, you know, to be called an American soldier is certainly something that you can be proud of.
Oh.
And if I could, just for a second, I'd like to read to you the Sentinel's Creed, if I could.
Please do.
And it says, my dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted. In the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. With the dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. It is he who commands the respect I protect, his bravery that made us so proud. Surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night, this soldier will in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance. And let me tell you what, these guys take that so seriously.
And this is an oath they all take.
And one of the most cherished awards that as an Army soldier you can earn is the Honor Guard badge. And, you know, you have to pass some very stringent requirements to earn that. And not even all of the old guard guys who guard the tomb earn that. And
you have to be outstanding amongst the outstanding.
You absolutely have to be. And once you earn that, you can wear that on your uniform no matter where you go or whatever assignment you go to after you've served at the tomb. It's very special.
If you folks out there have not seen the changing of the guard at Arlington National Cemetery, that's something that you must do before you leave this planet Earth. The people there, you look at these young people and you say, this country is good. This country is good. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, if I could throw sort of a semi-political thing in, you know, from what Michelle Obama said, how could you look at that and not be proud to be an American?
Impossible.
Impossible indeed.
And so the when it comes to laying the wreath, who's qualified to lay the wreath? We've got, just a little over a minute left.
Well, you know, obviously, any military group, veterans groups, on the website I have a link where you can get information on that. You can write in on your group's letterhead and, you know, request a date. But, you know, you should request a couple of dates because, you know, it is quite a popular thing. But you'll send in to the cemetery. There's people who handle requests and do the scheduling.
And that's on your website, correct?
It absolutely is. There's a link right to it on the front page.
As I mentioned earlier, that my Vietnam Veterans of America chapter, one of the members wrote in, requested that, and as the president that year, I had the honor of laying the wreath. Now, we've come to the end of the show, Michael. I can't believe it.
And I can't either, Gary. It's been really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being on.